February 18th, 1978. Kenneth Hennett.
The text for today's sermon is based on the gospel lesson, which was read. We are all familiar with the last 30 words of C.S. Lewis. He said, "I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really strange things that people often say about him. I am ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who is merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of a man who says he is a post judge, or he would be the giant devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else he is a madman or something worse." So speak to a floor. And I thought, Christ's goal was to obtain a confession, one way or the other, from his disciples concerning himself. In Christ's question, "Who do you say that I am?" the personal pronoun he made, "or you," is in an emphatic position. Christ is asking his disciples emphatically and personally. And Peter answers with an emphatic "you." And this emphasis is carried throughout his confession. Peter proclaims, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Christ is the long-awaited Messiah, the anointed one, the suffering servant, and the victorious king of the spiritual sect. He is not just a Son of God, as was the myth earlier in Matthew's gospel. No, rather he is the Son of God, the one who is spiritual and co-eternal with God. Jesus has, personally and emphatically, each and every one of us, in every day of our lives, "Who do you say that I am?" Our goal for this morning, and indeed every day of our lives, is to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and all that God entails. It is this message alone that brings salvation, hope, and meaning to the life of people everywhere. Before Jesus asked his disciples that decisive question, he first kept asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" In Christ's day, there is a general variety of messianic expectations. And the great priest says, for example, there are secret references to the Messiahs of Aaron and Israel. And the disciples answer Jesus, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." In our own day and age, there remains a host of false concepts concerning the person of Christ. Perhaps the living of God thus epitomizes the popular understanding of Christ. God is us. Is Jesus Christ the Son of God? God responds, "Jesus was my son, Peter was my son, Muhammad, Moses, you, Bill Landers, the man who said there is no room in the end. You are my son." Jesus to the world, as C.S. Lewis pointed out for us, was a great moral example, a great moral teacher, a superstar, the ultimate hope for a utopian society, but merely a man. We ourselves, in our own sinful bio, Savior. But God man, Savior of the world. My own sinful weak nature. We may have found, I'm afraid we are honest with ourselves, we may have found question and ask ourselves, is all this true? Is Jesus Christ really the Messiah? God himself? The problem with the popular understanding of Jesus Christ is that it drowns the person and sends him to hell. The lesson text really on Peter's confession, although not original, makes a very good theological point. It substitutes the God who saves for the living God. And it is God who saves. Because a man's sinfulness, indeed our own sinfulness, requires to even confess the message of Christ belongs solely to the revelation of God. Christ tells Peter, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father, who is in heaven. Scripture tells us, no one can say that Jesus is revealed by the Holy Spirit. And of course, the explanation to the Savior of the world is true that I believe, but I cannot, by my own reason of faith, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to us. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel and left me with his gift, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Jesus goes on to tell Peter, you are Peter. You are the cross. And upon this cross, this is the cross, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. In interpreting this passage, we of course must remember that one cannot separate the confession of St. Peter from the man Peter. As Ephesians chapter 2 points out, the church has been structured on the foundation of the apostles, who are servants, with Christ Jesus himself, in the cornerstone.